Chapter 9. When the group stepped back through the mirror, Sabrina suddenly felt her massive size. Being a 7-foot-tall, 1,200-pound grizzly bear made the regular-sized room feel much smaller. "I'll never get through the doorway," Sabrina worried. "You won't have to," Jack said as he stepped through the reflection. "Just click those heels together and you'll go anywhere you want. But before you do, you'll need these." Jack held 3 walkie-talkies. He opened Sabrina's handbag and stuffed one inside, then slid open a panel in Daphne's tin frame and popped in the other. He kept the 3rd for himself. "These will help you keep in touch with me."
"You're not going in with us?" Sabrina asked.
"Are you kidding?" Jack cried. "I'm on Ferryport Landing's most wanted list by now. Even if I disguised myself, Charming is sure to have security that can sniff me out. I can't take the chance. I'm going to stand outside the mansion and direct you. When you find the map of Charming's next target, we'll go save your grandmother and Canis."
"Okay," Sabrina said, looking down at the slippers on her huge, furry feet.
"I just click them together?" she asked, feeling ridiculous.
3 times," Daphne cheerfully reminded her. "There's no place like Charming's mansion?"
Jack nodded in agreement. Daphne put her hand on Sabrina's arm and held on tightly. Jack reached over and did the same.
"There's no place like Charming's mansion. There's no place like Charming's mansion. There's no place like Charming's mansion."
The last thing Sabrina saw was Elvis trotting into the room. In his mouth, he had the piece of fabric Granny claimed was from a giant's pants, as well as a big scrap of Jack's pants. He spit them out on the floor and whined for attention, but suddenly there was a pop, and the lights went out. Sabrina's ears filled with a squeaky sound, like someone was slowly releasing the air from a balloon. And when the lights came back on, the 3 of them were standing in front of Charming's estate. It was the biggest house Sabrina had ever seen, with several stories and marble columns like the ones on the White House framing a golden front door. A coat of arms depicting a lion fighting a snake decorated the front of the house. The lawn was immaculately trimmed and bordered by stone paths and clipped shrubbery. A statue of Prince Charming, surrounded by admiring woodland animals, rose out of a fountain in the middle of the lawn. Several hulking attendants with green skin and oversized muscles, parking valets, waited by the circular driveway, opening car doors, taking keys, and driving the cars away. A car pulled up in front of the house, and a blonde woman in a blue bonnet and puffy dress got out. She reached into the back seat for a long white staff with a curled end. Before the attendant could close the door for her, 6 lambs tumbled out and eagerly followed the woman inside.
"Little Bo Peep," Daphne cried. "Can you believe it?"
"Okay, girls. I'm going to stay out here and let you know if the cops show up. Keep your radios on and try to stay inconspicuous," Jack said.
"I'm a grizzly bear in a dress," Sabrina muttered.
"Charming's office is on the 2nd floor," Jack continued. "I'd mingle with the guests for a while, work the crowd, and find your way up there without attracting attention."
"Oh, is it that easy?" Sabrina said.
"Once you find the map, pop yourselves back down here, and we'll go find your giant," Jack finished.
He gave them a thumbs-up sign and disappeared into some nearby trees. "He makes it sound so simple," Sabrina grumbled to Daphne. A line had formed as guests waited to be announced, so the girls walked to the back of it. In front of them were a large man and his wife having some kind of argument.
"Isn't there a line for the rich people?"
the woman groaned.
"Maybe if we had gotten here earlier, we'd be inside already," the man grunted.
His voice was slurred, and Sabrina thought he might be drunk.
"I wanted to look nice for the ball," the woman said defensively.
"You wanted to look nice for the prince," he muttered.
"Are you going to harp on that again?"
the woman sighed. She turned and noticed Sabrina and Daphne. Her cheeks flushed red and she forced a sheepish smile to her face. Even in her embarrassment, the woman was radiant. Her beautiful amber hair cascaded in curls down her neck, and her bright green eyes sparkled in the light, competing for brilliance with her pearly white smile. "Good evening," she said politely. Her husband turned to see who she was speaking to, and the agony of his face was revealed. His features were pushed flat, giving him a cat-like appearance, accentuated by the mane of hair that framed his face. Long fangs crept out of his mouth and hung down nearly to his chin. But his most horrible feature was his eyes, bright yellow slits that blinked at them fiercely. Sabrina knew exactly who they were, Beauty and the Beast.
"Good evening," the Beast grunted. "Nice to see you, woodsman. How on earth did you and Mama Bear come to be acquainted?"
The girls weren't prepared for questions and stood dumbfounded. "You're such a gossip," Beauty scolded. "What Papa Bear doesn't know won't hurt him." Several more guests joined the line. Sabrina turned around to see a small white rabbit in a vest clutching an old-fashioned chain watch in his paw. He looked at the time and stuffed the watch back into his vest pocket.
"For once, we are not late,"
the white rabbit sighed with relief. His companions were three mice wearing black sunglasses and carrying canes.
"Always the worrywart," one of the mice said as he tapped his cane against the ground.
"I told you we would make it," the second added.
"Someday I'd like to smash that watch of yours. All that worrying about time is going to give you a heart attack,"
the third mouse concluded.
"I believe in being punctual," the white rabbit said defensively.
"Have you heard the news?"
the second mouse squeaked to the crowd.
"No, I want to tell. I heard it first,"
the first mouse cried.
"Rel de Grimm has been carried off by a giant."
The folks in line gasped in surprise and turned their attention to the little mouse.
"Are you sure?"
the Beast asked.
"Maybe you'd prefer an eyewitness," the first mouse cried. "I may be blind, but my hearing is just fine."
The Beast rolled his eyes.
"A giant? That's impossible," Beauty exclaimed.
"I didn't believe it either, but it's true,"
the white rabbit replied.
"The giant has been stomping around all over town, scaring the humans to death. The three are working overtime, showering the town in forgetful dust. Be prepared to dig deep, my friends. The damage is extensive, and forgetful dust costs a pretty penny. You all know Charming's going to ask us to foot the bill."
Sabrina hung on every word.
"If she's dead, we might actually be able to leave Fairyport Landing,"
Beauty cried, unable to hide her excitement.
"Has anyone tried?"
"The barrier is still intact," said the third mouse, almost stumbling over a pebble as he stepped forward with the moving line. "We tried it this morning."
"Well, I wouldn't get your hopes up about Relda meeting an untimely demise,"
the white rabbit said.
"I'm sure Canis will save her. He always does."
"No, that's not going to be a problem this time,"
the third mouse chirped.
"The giant carried him away, too."
"Two birds with one very big stone,"
the second mouse sang with glee.
"So, it's just a matter of time,"
the Beast said.
"Maybe not,"
the second mouse said.
"I hear they've found the granddaughters."
Everyone groaned.
"I thought they had died," Beauty said.
"No, just missing. Apparently, whatever carried off their parents didn't get them,"
the white rabbit said.
"I'm sorry," Sabrina interrupted, "but did you say the girl's parents had been carried away?"
"The family thinks they abandoned them, but I've heard whispers that Henry and his wife were kidnapped,"
the Beast answered. Sabrina and Daphne shared a stunned look.
"But it's not all bad news,"
the first mouse said.
"Indeed?"
Beauty asked.
"I hear they're already trying to rescue their grandmother. Can you believe it?"
said the white rabbit.
"Two kids taking on a giant. The whole family will be pushing up daisies by morning."
"That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And when it comes to the Grimms, that's saying something,"
the Beast said. The crowd laughed.
"Mama Bear, you must be so excited,"
Beauty said, taking Sabrina's heavy paws into her delicate hands.
"Soon you'll be reunited with your family. Are they still hiding out in that Romanian zoo?"
Yes, that will be wonderful, Sabrina muttered, doing her best not to swat Beauty across the yard and then stomp the rest of them into paste. The talk of her parents had caught her attention. Do you know who kidnapped the parents? Said Sabrina. Who cares? The White Rabbit replied. You people are horrible, a voice said from behind them. Sabrina turned around and saw a beautiful, dark-skinned woman with dazzling green eyes. She wore a diamond tiara and a beautiful evening gown. She looked at the group in front of her with disgust. Briar Rose, Beauty said nervously. I think you may have stepped into the middle of a conversation and misheard something.
I heard all I need to hear, Briar Rose said.
The crowd shifted uncomfortably and turned away from her accusing stare, while Sabrina's mind filled with possibilities. Could it be true? Their parents hadn't abandoned them? Could someone have kidnapped them? Soon, Sabrina and Daphne were almost at the front of the line. Mr. Seven stood at the door, this time without his pointy idiot hat. He announced Beauty and the Beast, and the couple disappeared into the chattering party inside. Good evening, Mr. Seven said as he opened the door for them. He cupped his hands together and yelled, Mama Bear, escorted this evening by the Tin Woodsman, as the girls entered the room. The mansion was a spectacular display of wealth and taste. A crystal chandelier hung from the ceiling, and a beautiful red-carpeted staircase led up to a large landing where four men played violins. The room was already crowded with people, animals, and monsters of all shapes and sizes. Ever-afters as far as the eye could see. They wandered around, talking and drinking champagne. Some laughed at jokes, while others argued politics. A very ugly couple of trolls dressed in evening wear danced to the music, and several hulking waiters hurried around the room, extending trays of appetizers to guests. No one seemed to be bothered that there were ogres and winged people hobnobbing with talking animals. So Sabrina's worries that people would notice a man made of metal and a bear in a polka-dotted dress quickly dissolved.
Sabrina, all of the ever-afters wish we were dead, Daphne said.
Sabrina looked around the room. Every fairy tale creature she had ever read about seemed to be here. Cinderella and her fairy godmother, the Mad Hatter, Mowgli and Baloo. Even Geppetto was off in a corner chatting with Alibaba. And Sabrina knew they all hated the Grimms. As unsettling as it was, Sabrina could understand why. Even though Ms. Smirt had dumped the girls into some awful foster homes, Sabrina and Daphne knew they could always run away. For the ever-afters, there was no escape, and it had been that way for almost 200 years. It must be torment for them, she thought.
Where should we start? Daphne asked.
They needed to get into the mayor's office, but they also needed to know where Charming was while they were doing it. Sabrina looked around the room, but he wasn't present.
Let's just stay out of the way and keep our ears open. Once we know where he is, we'll make our way upstairs. For now, let's mingle.
The two walked awkwardly around the main room, gawking at the various literary celebrities and capturing bits of conversations.
So, she's not coming?
A dwarf said to a huge black panther. The panther licked its paw and hungrily eyed Sabrina.
She never comes, the panther said. If I left him at the altar, the last place I'd want to go is the man's house. I think it's very respectful of Snow White not to show her face here.
But it was almost 400 years ago. The man has been married at least half a dozen times since, the dwarf said. Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, and Rapunzel are all here. If they can move on, then Snow White surely can. This community is important.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're pleased that you could attend the Fairyport Landing 100th Annual Community Ball,
Mr. Seven shouted from the top of the red staircase. The musicians laid down their instruments, and everyone turned their attention to the mayor's assistant.
Allow me to introduce your host for this evening, your mayor, His Majesty, Prince Charming.
The violinists immediately broke into a stately song as a pair of double doors at the top of the stairs swung open. The crowd burst into applause as Charming waved and descended the staircase. He was all smiles, shaking hands with everyone he met, kissing women on the hands, even if they were ugly witches or even uglier stepsisters, and calling everyone by name as he glided around the room. Mr. Seven followed closely behind him, handing out business cards.
"What do you say, woodsman?"
Charming asked, taking Daphne's hand and shaking it vigorously.
"Hello," Daphne seethed, unable to hide her contempt.
Charming reached over, took Sabrina's massive hairy paw, and placed a kiss on it.
"Mama Bear, as lovely as ever," he said with a wink. "I hope the two of you are having a wonderful time."
"We are, thank you," Sabrina said sharply.
Maybe she had acquired some of the bear's aggressiveness along with its body, because for the second time that night she thought she might like to swat someone with her paw. One quick swipe and she could probably take Charming's head clean off his shoulders. Instead, she smiled and did her best to curtsy, imagining how ridiculous this move looked from a 1,200-pound bear.
"Please eat, drink, have a wonderful time. This celebration is for us," Charming said as he swept on to the center of the room.
"Friends, I am so happy that you could all attend the annual ball," he continued. "Each year we gather together as a community to toast our hard work and, most importantly, our patience."
Charming's words sent a frustrated rumble through the crowd.
"But once again, your support is needed to continue to build our community," he said. "There is still work to be done, and we need your help to maintain services, to fund our fine police force, and various other community endeavors. So, I ask you, when you contribute tonight, give deeply. In fact, give until it hurts, or I'll put you all in jail."
For a moment, there was complete silence, and then a broad, boyish grin sprang to Charming's face. The crowd burst into nervous laughter. Suddenly, a woman pushed through the crowd. Her face was white with powder, as was the long wig she wore on her head. She had used a black pencil to accentuate her eyebrows and lips, and had drawn a large black mole on her left cheek. She wore a royal gown decorated with large red hearts. And next to her stood two armed guards who, much to the girl's amazement, were playing cards.
"Prince, what are you doing about the giant?"
the woman demanded. The crowd grew silent, but Charming merely smiled at her.
"Your Majesty, it is such an honor to have the Queen of Hearts here at the gala," he said. "You haven't answered my question," the Queen snapped, eyeing the crowd to make sure all were paying attention. "I think the community deserves to know what you are doing to protect this town, and if the money we give each year at this party of yours is well spent."
"Every ever after can rest assured that my administration is on top of the problem," the prince said. "The sheriff and his deputies have been searching the forests, and I have my best witches busy casting locator spells. And if that doesn't work, well, I'll just go lock up the next 200-foot man I see."
The crowd chuckled at his joke.
"That's all fine and good, Charming," the queen replied. "But one must ask how a giant got loose in the first place. This kind of thing would never have happened in Wonderland. When I was ruler, people knew better than to try such shenanigans. You have to be firm with the criminal element."
Some of the crowd muttered in agreement, but Charming only smiled wider.
"Well, queen, let's not go losing our heads over this," he said.
The crowd roared with laughter, causing the Queen of Hearts to turn red with rage.
"It's just one giant, and..."
"I've heard a rumor that you are actually controlling this giant," Sabrina said, hardly believing the words came from her mouth.
"Mama Bear, I never pegged you for a gossip," the prince replied. "Did this nasty little rumor you heard carry more information? For instance, why I would want a giant smashing up the town?"
"So you could buy the land back cheap and rebuild your kingdom," Sabrina replied.
Charming's face turned pale.
"Nonsense," he muttered. "What if the Grimms hear of this?" said the Queen of Hearts. "Relda is already aware of it. The giant has carried her off," the prince informed her.
The crowd roared in shock.
"Relda Grimm is in the hands of a giant?" the queen cried.
"As is Mr. Canis,"
Charming added. The crowd was silent, and then a spattering of applause broke out. Many of the ever-afters shook hands and patted one another on the back, while others looked worried and upset.
"Canis will finally get what's coming to him,"
a troll cheered.
"Take that back," Daphne screamed.
Sabrina tried to pinch her to be quiet, but her paws slid off her sister's tin body.
"People, unfortunately, this celebration is turning into a town hall meeting," Charming called above the noise. "If you have any further concerns, I want you to know that my door is always open. Between the hours of 8 and 8:15 every morning, please call for an appointment. For now, let's dance, drink, be merry, and most of all, be ourselves, free of the disguises we all wear to fit into this pathetic, boring little town. The night is young, and by the grace of magic, so are we."
Charming's words were followed by another lively tune from the violinists, and the festive mood soon returned. The girls mingled in the crowd, barely able to contain themselves whenever they heard angry, threatening words about their family from the mouths of characters they had grown up loving. It seemed that the only topic of conversation tonight was how wonderful the world would be if the Grimm family dropped off the face of the earth. When the clock struck 8:45, both girls had heard enough. It was high time they made their move.
"I have to get upstairs," Sabrina said to Daphne. "If we stick around here any longer, we're going to change back, and these people will probably kill us. Find somewhere out of the way and warn me on the walkie-talkie if Charming is coming."
"Good luck," Daphne said, wrapping her hard metal arms around Sabrina and hugging her. Sabrina navigated through the crowd. As she approached the steps, she thought she'd finally found her opportunity. That was until Sheriff Hampstead stepped in her way.
"Young lady, you are under arrest," Hampstead said.
Sabrina wondered what she should do. She could probably knock the sheriff down with one swing of her big bear paw, but everyone would see. Running away didn't seem like an option either.
"For being the prettiest lady at the ball," the sheriff continued.
Thank you, she stammered, somewhat confused.
"Wonderful party, don't you think?" said Hampstead, as he transformed to his true pig self.
"Yes," she said. "Could you excuse me? I have to visit the ladies' room."
Hampstead apologized and let her pass. Sabrina lumbered up the stairs until she reached the top. She walked past the violinists and down a long hallway. Once she was out of sight of the crowd, she made sure no one was following, then reached into her purse and pulled out the walkie-talkie, awkwardly switching it on with her big paws.
"Jack, I'm upstairs," she said.
"Good job, Duck. His office is the last one," Jack said, his voice popping and crackling.
"I can barely hear you. Say again," Sabrina said.
"It's the last one on the right," Jack repeated,
still sounding distant. Sabrina walked down the hallway. When she got to the end, she found the door Jack had spoken of. She opened it, and standing before her was another 7-foot grizzly bear ready to pounce. Sabrina screamed, but the bear did nothing. In fact, it didn't even twitch. Sabrina realized it was stuffed. The room was dedicated to Prince Charming's hunting trophies. Several mounted deer heads, a stuffed fox, and a wild boar overlooked Charming's immense desk. A rattlesnake sat on top of it, poised and ready to strike. What portions of the walls weren't covered in dead animals were hung with portraits of the prince, done in various artistic styles. There was even an abstract portrait in which his nose was on his forehead.
"Creepy," Sabrina whispered to herself.
She reached for her walkie-talkie and pushed the button again.
"I'm in." "The coast is clear down here," Daphne's voice said. "Charming is busy talking to a raccoon in a tuxedo. That's so crazy."
"Look for a map or something like that," Jack's voice squawked through the box. "Charming keeps records of everything."
Dozens of files and reports littered the top of the mayor's desk, including an unfolded map of the town. Someone had circled areas in red and written "reported sightings" next to them.
"Jack, are you there?"
Sabrina said into the walkie-talkie.
"Yes," his voice crackled.
I found a map with some circles on it, but there's nothing that says the exact time or location of a meeting. In fact, to me, it looks like Charming's trying to track the giant as well.
I doubt that. Holmes, too.
Jack's voice broke up.
Jack, I can't hear you. Try to get closer,
Sabrina said, but there was no response.
Daphne, I've lost Jack somehow. I'm going to take the map. What is Charming doing?
Sabrina asked. But there was no response from her sister either. Sabrina looked around the room. In the corner was a television. Hooked to the back by wires was a video camera, and on the television's screen was a frozen image of the Appleby farm. Sabrina crossed the room and found the remote control. She picked it up awkwardly and, after several difficult seconds, managed to get her giant paw to press the play button. The screen came to life with the most amazing scene. A giant beanstalk was exploding upward from the ground, soaring high into the sky and disappearing off the top edge of the TV. Within seconds, an enormous body came crawling down it, and the sight sent shivers through Sabrina. It was the giant she had met the day before. It stomped down on the little Appleby farmhouse just as Mr. Appleby leaped out the door. Granny had been right. The lens cap did mean someone. Charming had taped the whole violent episode.
Daphne, I found a tape in Charming's office that shows the giant destroying the farmhouse. Now we have proof that he and the giant are working together,
Sabrina said. But before she could finish her sentence, the door burst open and the Tin Woodsman was pushed inside. Behind her was Charming, looking murderous. He slammed the door and took a crossbow from the wall, where it was hanging like a piece of art.
I'm sorry, Daphne apologized. He snuck up on me before I could warn you.
Who are you?
He demanded.
I'm Mama Bear,
Sabrina lied.
Is that so?
Charming sneered.
That would be interesting, since it's almost December, and you should be 3 weeks into your hibernation by now.
I didn't want to miss such a lovely party,
Sabrina stammered. Next to the door sat a quill of arrows. Charming selected one, inserted it in the crossbow, and pulled the bowstring back. Then he aimed it at Sabrina's heart. I'm going to give you until the count of five to tell me who you are, or your head is going to join the others on my wall, he threatened coolly.